And we often pray with people before they speak, so I'm just going to do that now. Father, I just thank you for Colin. And Lord, I just pray that you would just speak into our hearts now through Colin. And just give us your peace, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Liz. Thanks. I just loved that. You guys, that was fantastic. You know, we were with a group of folks yesterday away on our Alpha away day. Mark mentioned Alpha. He wasn't able to be with us, unfortunately, yesterday because he was here where he should have been. But we had a great time in the Lammermuirs away out of only about 50 minutes away from Edinburgh. But I was back there again as I listened to you, Ailey. I was just up there in the heather with the sheep and looking down on the city, and I was just away. It's just fantastic how music has the capacity to, well, I think what for Ailey's first tune, to transport us and to take us away from the mundane up into what God wants for us. And that's why music is about spirituality. I'm just going to read a 3,000-year-old poem, a 3,000-year-old song that rounds off the longest book in the Bible, the book of Psalms. And this is how it goes. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his holy place. Praise him in his mighty skies. Praise him for his powerful acts. Praise him for his amazing greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with strings and lyre. Praise him with drums and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flute. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath, let's say it together, praise the Lord. And then for good measure, repeat that, praise the Lord. Now, actually, I wish you could read the Hebrew of that because it's very rhythmical. And it starts off, the first word, praise the Lord, is the Hebrew word, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all through the refrain, all through this psalm, and we get a little touch of it in there because we praise him. But actually, I love the Hebrew because it says, hallelujah. Not hallelujah, but praise him in Hebrew is hallelujah. So let's all say that. Hallelujah. Praise him. So now you know how to say praise him in Hebrew. But it's kind of this amazing refrain that runs through this psalm, and I'll be referring to it in a moment. I've entitled my talk, and it's going to be a short talk. I've only got one sheet, both sides of notes. That's good, isn't it? I moved the margins a bit. I do that. I've entitled this talk, In Space, No One Can Hear You Fiddle. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but music is a miracle in terms of the universe in which we live. Because once you've gone however many miles it is up and you left the Earth's atmosphere, you're in a vacuum. And no one can hear you fiddle. So I think we've got the men on the moon fiddling here. They couldn't. You couldn't. You couldn't fiddle on the moon because you wouldn't be heard. No one can hear you sing or speak or shout, or as we have from that great slogan from the cinema, or scream. Just silence. Now, I've been looking on the internet and found a debate going on about this. Star Wars fans are incensed because it means their wonderful explosion of the Death Star and spaceships and crashes and all that, whoosh, and bang, and everything. It doesn't exist. It's not there. And it's really funny because you have people coming back saying, yes, but in the explosion, surely there would be enough gas released for there to be some sound. And then the scientists come back and say, yes, but they would expand so quickly, you wouldn't actually hear anything. You'd have to be so close, you'd be killed by the explosion before you heard the sound. Isn't it interesting what's on the internet? But basically, what's more even more interesting, that I have found time to look at it. But it is amazing that, you know, there's no sound out there. You couldn't have explosions. But this planet we're on with its earth, with its air-filled atmosphere. The earth with what the first chapter of Genesis, and one of the first things God creates in his creation in Genesis, is what in Hebrew is called a rakia, what we call in old terms the firmament, but actually what we would call now the atmosphere. God creates an atmosphere to separate the chaos below, which I suppose is the deep and the waters, from the chaos above, which is empty space. And he creates this firmament, this atmosphere, for us to live in. And this is full of sound, because there's air for the sound to move through. Now, I'm no scientist, but I do understand that sound is the movement of waves through molecules. And so what we hear is actually the moving of molecules around. We could almost call it the musical planet. In terms of the universe, it is the musical planet. Waves crash. Ice cracks. Volcanoes explode, growl and grind. Winds howl. Trees echo the wind. Birds sing. Animals roar and bark and moo and grunt and squeak. Especially when our cat gets hold of them. The mice, that is. Now, as part of this unique musical box of a planet, man and woman make music. Now, the Bible recognizes this as an almost prehistoric, we'd call it, human pastime, because just four chapters into the Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, it talks about the grandson of Adam, the son of Cain, whose name was Jubal. And it says that he was the father, or the first one, of all those who play the harp or stringed instruments and flute. And so there we are, just right at the beginning of things. God's scriptures, God's word, sees music making as being there from the word go. Music's also played a really important part in mankind's spiritual experience. Almost all faith traditions have some role for music and musical instruments in the worship of God. And what's fascinating, you know, I love what you were sharing, Alison, there about all the cultures coming together. I love hearing worship in other languages. I love hearing other cultures, not just other languages, but other ways of doing it, you know, other ways of singing. I get a bit annoyed, actually, or a bit slightly depressed when I go to places where the culture is obviously different and I just hear American-style worship music, British-style worship music, when actually there's so much of a great culture there that could express its praise and worship in another way, in its own way. And in fact, in the Jewish narrative of the Old Testament, into which, as Christians, we're adopted, God actually speaks through music. And we see this in a link between the prophets who speak for God and musicians. So in 1 Samuel, in the book of Samuel, 1st 1, chapter 10, this is how one artist sees King Saul of Israel, the first king of Israel, meeting a band of these prophets, playing strings and woodwind and tambourines as they speak out God's message. It's not very clear about the instruments, but the guy here on the right and the guy there on the left are supposed to be playing instruments. And he's so affected that Saul can't help it. He just joins in the party. Later, that same Saul has attacks of deep depression. And a young man named David, who's destined to become king in his place one day, is brought in to play the harp, and it calms him down. That's a direct reference to the spiritual power that can come through the vehicle of music. As William Congreve said, music has charms to soothe the savage breast. Certainly in this case, it soothes Saul's breast. And as I've already mentioned, by far the largest of the 66 books of the Jewish and Christian scriptures is a song book. It's not just poetry, these are songs that were designed to be sung. 150 songs, the longest of which is Psalm 119, which is an epic. It's got 22 sections, each of 8 lines. That's something like 176 lines of song in one big song. Well, actually, it's divided up into 22 sections, that's why. Some psalms in that book even have musical directions, which we don't tend to translate or to look at much, but they are really interesting. So there's some direction, and you fiddlers will be glad to hear, there's some that says, this song is to be accompanied on the strings. A gitit in Hebrew, if you find that at the front. Sometimes, actually, our English Bibles aren't very helpful. They don't translate the word. They just say, to be performed on gitit. But actually, gitit is the Hebrew word for strings. Others are given a voice. So one is to be sung on alamot, it's called in Hebrew, which means by soprano voices or by high voices. So there's directions for some of how they're to be sung. And as I've just read, the last of the Psalms, Psalm 150, kind of sums it all up. And in conclusion says, praise him with everything you've got. You know, whistles, flutes, drums, bass drum, guitar, what else? Any instrument, basically. There is no instrument that is out with. I had to laugh, actually, because the King James Version has praise him, where it says praise him with strings and flute, which is a better translation, the King James Version has praise him with the organ. I think that might reflect a certain cultural prejudice of 1611. I don't think that's what it actually means. We have organ pipes, but we don't have any organs, so we're going to be in trouble with that. Followers of Jesus Christ, who through his gift of faith are brought into that heritage of Israel, we're also encouraged to encounter God through music. So Paul, a Jew, but writing to non-Jewish disciples of Jesus in a small town called Colossae in Turkey, he says he encourages them to sing from the Bible songbook. He says, sing psalms. That's what he means. Sing from that Bible songbook that we've got in our Jewish Bibles. But he also encourages them to sing and play their own composed songs, which in the Greek is hymni, which is where our word hymns comes from. But I'm afraid it doesn't mean get the old hymn book out and have a sing from that. It actually means written songs, songs that you've pre-written. And also, he then encourages them to sing spirit songs, which is spontaneous songs of worship that just come from that moment, that come out. You know, that tune that Ailey played that she wrote, actually at one point came out of you, came out from somewhere, and you began to play it. There was a first time that was played. So the first time that was played, that was spontaneous. And then it obviously worked on it, and that's what you do, and you hone things. But those things that are wonderful, they come out, they're just spontaneous. And actually, a lot of the songs that we use here, a lot of the music that happens here, we won't hear again. It's just for that moment. It's exciting that we can worship God all kinds of ways. Then in writing to the followers of Jesus Christ gathering in homes in the western Turkish city of Ephesus, in the letter to the Ephesians, Paul links the presence of God to music. When he says, don't get drunk with wine, that's going to lead you to destruction. But instead, be filled with God's Spirit, addressing one another with psalms and written songs and songs which the Holy Spirit gives you spontaneously, singing and playing instruments from your hearts to the Lord. Now, that is my paraphrase, but it brings out, I hope, the essence of what Paul's saying. Paul is actually saying, continue the tradition. You are welcome into our Hebrew tradition, which the Psalm 150 indicates is full of song and dance. And I'll tell you, some of the most joyful dancing is still done among Jewish people, those both in Israel and across the world. And the last book of the scriptures, the Revelation to John, gives us an image of worship which is going on in the unseen dimension, where God is found with song breaking out over and over again, accompanied by instrumental music of strings. The elders have harps and there's trumpets sounding. So heaven, like earth, is a musical place. It's a place where people are not afraid to express themselves through song. So no wonder then that the followers of Jesus love to make music on this musical planet. I just love that song, you know, Let It Rise, rising from the African plain and the Asian believers. I just get excited about that because I think, no, we're not just doing this little thing here. We're actually part of a worldwide song of celebration in all kinds of ways across this planet because God has given us this gift of music. And it's because one, when God is around, music happens. And it's because one of those parts of man that connects him to reality beyond himself, and also at the same time, I believe, makes him more fully human, giving him also a sense of meaning and purpose for life, is music. And whether it's Vaughan Williams, whether it's Mark and Ailey this morning, God can speak to us through music. And he invites us to be part of this cosmic celebration of creation and also of the redemption of the world. Because God doesn't just make the world, he hasn't just created the world. He says he's going to remake the world. He's going to put right what has gone wrong. He's already started it through his son Jesus Christ on the cross. Through his resurrection, Jesus shows that things will be different. Things will change. And we live as Christian people in that belief and hope that one day things are going to be different. But in the meantime, God invites us to sing and we can celebrate those facts. Just as I come to a close, I want us to do something hopefully unusual for some of you, but for some of us very familiar. I'm going to invite Shirley and Chris just to come and take their places. I have pre-warned them, by the way. Don't worry. And I'm just going to invite them to play some spirit song, some spontaneous expression to God. This is not prepared, it's just extempore. But as they play, rather than watch them, or rather than, actually, I hope you listen to them, but rather than kind of focus on them and their ability, actually, you might want to close your eyes, but certainly don't spectate, but actually allow this sense of who God is, this celebration of creation on this musical planet that God has put in place with this atmosphere that carries sound. Just allow the Creator, just allow the Redeemer to come close. I'm just going to pray as they just play for us in a moment. Holy Spirit of Christ, the one he pours out freely on us, come and sing over us today to let us know your love and your power to rescue us as we respond in love to you through our music. Amen.
voices together. Lift our voices together, singing a new song, using the instrument of our voices. Rise like incense, rise like incense, a new song to the Maker of heaven and earth.
You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied, as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Soon we're all going to turn into pumpkins. But before we do that, we're going to finish. Is there anything else? We're going to finish with one last song. So just give us a moment whilst we get ourselves together. Say hi to somebody. We haven't done that yet, have we? Turn around and say hello to somebody. That would be